Hello and welcome to Marooned at Magpie's Headquarters, day 158. Nearly there. When's the next big
nearly
milestone?
Where?
Next big milestone. We don't have to wait until 200, do we?
132.
What about 132?
That's the next big milestone for Johnny.
Oh, that's true. It is. 1, 3, 2. Ah, so Kim's... Hello, Kim. Kim's listening until the food's ready. But you're not going to stop listening when the food's ready, are you? Hello, Jonathan. Have you recovered from last night? I've not recovered from the shock of them causing complete havoc in the middle of the show. Have you told them? Not acceptable. Your hour's between 7 and 8, you know. Has nobody... Have they not read the memo? Who else have we got? Hello, Simon. No, you're not late again. You are hearing no broadcast. You should be hearing a broadcast. Can you just check we're broadcasting?
Yeah.
At this end, we're broadcasting. Definitely. Categorically. Absolutely. I've checked. I'm just double checking. But it's all working. It is.
Yeah, we're broadcasting.
Simon, it's you.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are.
Now, come on. It's not Hell Now Brown Cow. That's what I do when I'm testing audio equipment. Mary had a little lamb.
Oh, Mary had a little lamb.
You know it
is. His fleece was white as snow.
Food delivery. Crisis. Frozen spinach. Ooh.
Did anyone hear that?
Well, it wouldn't be a magnum. What would they send instead of frozen spinach? Something green, do we think? You know, like broccoli. Fresh broccoli or something like that.
I dread to think.
Or did they make it like, you know, Mr. Muscle bathroom cleaner, which I wouldn't put past them.
Could be magnums instead. Oh no, Kim said
that. It could be. No, I don't think it is. Simon's got no sound. I'm presuming everybody else can hear us.
Simon, turn it up.
He can't hear you. You're going to have to write in.
I am doing.
Frozen jacket potatoes. No, can't see the logic there.
I've bought frozen jacket potatoes before.
I never have. They don't taste like food.
They don't.
They don't taste...
I still bought them.
No, too bad. You know what's worse than that, Jonathan? They didn't have cheese in, did they? Because the cheese is like sawdust. Oh, Jonathan, you're trying to get rid. Classic. No, they're not like food. I will totally grant you that. They're not. Mum always used to say that about potatoes, baked potatoes, that you baked in the oven. She said they were far nicer than what you did in the microwave. So at the time, I don't think she'd done them in the oven for a while. Anyway, this particular day she did. Oh, was she right? They actually had flavour to them. But the ones that came out the microwave, oh no. So, yes, I can only imagine how frozen ones taste. Oh, yes, still frozen, Jonathan. If you're going to throw them out the window, make sure they are as hard as rocks. The world's surrounded by them. Including colleagues of Mike's who are deciding to go on holiday to countries that are now in lockdown.
Well, they decided to go ages ago.
Yes, I know, but you change your mind, you know, pandemic.
Well, they didn't want to cancel because they'd lose their money.
Oh, how awful. And if they go, they could lose their life. But, you know, as long as they've not lost the holiday deposit, we're all right.
Just saying.
Did you notice the slight element of sarcasm there? There you go, Simon. Told you it wasn't us. Oh, you didn't hear me say that. Chicken! Oh, madam, the little princess today, what has she been like? She started this yesterday. Was it breakfast she didn't eat?
Breakfast.
She wouldn't eat breakfast yesterday. But by lunchtime, she was persuaded to partake of some fresh chicken. She did eat her dinner. She did have a couple of treats. But this morning again... Oh, and then she was rather weird in the night wanting to go out, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Which was quite handy, actually. Oh, Simon's in. So do you want the full saga from Mystery Mansions? You know what our life's like. Mike had gone to bed relatively early, you know, before 10 o'clock. I'm working because I'm working all night. Anyway, I hear the dog bark. And bear in mind, the dog's in the bedroom with the door shut and the industrial fan on in the bedroom and the industrial fan on in the office. And I still hear her bark. Rip Van Winkle over there doesn't hear a thing. So I said, do you want to go out? So took her downstairs, took her out. She did all of the checking of the estate as usual. You know, it's never a 2 minute job. And she finally toddles back in. So I locks up again, comes in, says, come on, up you go. So she went upstairs and she disappeared back into the bedroom. I thought, fair enough. Then I decided to venture into the toilet. Not the best idea I'd ever had. There was a humongous spider in kind of the ceiling where it joins the wall. So I thought, oh dear. And I thought, well, I'm not about to wake Mike up and I don't deal with spiders. So I closed the door and decided I'd go later. So the next minute I hear something. I thought, don't tell me the dog's got the door open. So I ventures out on the landing to discover Mike in the toilet, completely oblivious of the accompaniment he had in there. So I said, seeing as though you're up, I wouldn't have bothered you, but can you possibly deal with that spider? Which meant he had to go downstairs and get a ladder. While the dogs are on the floor thinking, these two are insane. What? Why have I come to live here? They're totally insane. So I said, I wouldn't have woken you up. And then I said, did you hear the dog? He said, no. She was stood next to your head barking.
Wow.
He obviously tunes her out, like he tunes me out if I start nagging.
Really?
Not that I ever nag, do I, dear? A little bit too long there in the answer, Mike.
Tuning you out.
Hello, Mrs. Simon. I've had my fingers crossed all day. I hope it was good news. According to the news, it was like an opera giveaway. Everybody's got everything they want. Here, have some GCSEs. But within that broad stroke, there's bound to be people who have not got where they want to be. So I had my fingers crossed. I hope it all went well. Yes, so today she decided she didn't want a breakfast. So it gets to lunchtime. She's still not bothered. She's even turning treats down at this point. So Mike, talk about take pity on her, cooks her an entire chicken breast, which she devoured, virtually inhaling it. So we think it's just she's off dog food and wants ours.
Kiva's having zoomies after her bath.
Oh, Maya used to do that after every bath. It's lethal, isn't it? You loaded in random. She did it about 10 times. Oh, bless. I'm going to have to go and have a look at that. Oh, Kiva, she's adorable. I found my perfect house today. You know, we were talking about Glasgow and Edinburgh, and it might be an idea, you know, Edinburgh. No, I found the perfect house. I can hear Kiva.
Kiva and Kim doing zoomies around the house.
Oh, I can hear claw on wood.
Yeah. Are you done?
Right, let me see if I
You've
can
You've done zoomies. That's brilliant, Kim.
There we go. That's what I'm looking for. The Google Drive link. That's what I want. Right, I'm going to put this in the chat. This is my perfect house. It was on the news today. Now, it's the BBC, so I don't know if you can actually get to the BBC if you're abroad. So I've put it on Google Drive. I suggest watching it later because it's about 3.5 minute video. But you can tell from the poster frame, this perfect house of mine is a fort. Now, I have actually seen these forts. They're off the coast of Portsmouth, which is in the Solent between the UK and France. In fact, that one says, no, the poster frame isn't actually, doesn't do it justice. That's an issue. Let's press play and see what we can get.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, if you just press play, as soon as you press play, you will see a fort in the middle of the sea. My perfect house. The nearest neighbours are in Portsmouth. I think it's about 3 nautical miles. And they're only £9 million for 3 of them. So you could even have one that's your house and then one that's your holiday home. You can dock a boat, apparently, but there's also a helipad. So just need, it's £9 million, so just need the other £8,999,999, and I'm there. So should we have a whip round? Do you know, I actually thought, I saw them many years ago. We actually went past one on a boat trip, and they totally fascinated me. They were there as like a forewarning of invasion. And I remember thinking, I would love to just see it, you know, just actually go inside it. They were sold in 2012, all three of them, to a millionaire. Now, one of them is identical, so it's not been done over at all, which you'll see in the video. The other two, I think one's where they live and another one is a hotel. And they're just fascinating. I would love to go stay there. But I remember when they came up for sale last time. If it was before September 2012, we would have been, definitely. I felt living here was like a madhouse. Not that it isn't now, obviously, with all our strange neighbours. But, you know, there was me, Mike, Mum, Dad, Maya, and chaos. Dad was ill, Maya was ill. It was chaos. And I just remember watching it thinking, bet that's peaceful. No neighbours, no nothing. Lots of boats, however, obviously, ships going past. It's the busiest shipping lane in the world, I think. But I could really do with that. Oh, yes. I don't know what the internet's like, but definitely. Oh, good results. That's fantastic, Mrs. Simon. Congratulations to all involved. The hype about schools marking up proved not the case with our school. Got identical mark to the Ofqual ones. Oh, they were given both. Wow. I guess that's good news, because then it's not like people can't actually say, oh, well, you know, your teachers did you a favour. If both of them were identical, it was the ones where someone was down for 2A stars and 2As and they came out and one of them was a U. I mean, how does that happen? Crazy, crazy stuff. But that's very good news. No, I don't sleepwalk, Jonathan. No, I don't. I'm liking that. Yes, I did think the name was a bit off, Kim. Spitbank. Particularly at the moment. You don't want to be thinking of anything spitting. But I'd just love to visit. That is my ideal of perfect neighbours. And I think that grass is plastic. So ergo, it wouldn't need mowing. And there's no hedges that need doing either. So yes. Oh, and the other thing is, on that poster frame, you'll probably see it in the video, but on the poster frame, when you press play, on the left-hand side, you can see where the dock, where you can dock the boats. But there's what looks like a plank, you know, like on a pirate ship. It's next to what looks like the lighthouse. That is actually a diving board. And what they used to do was train the recruits there. They had to dive in and swim around it. Oh, that is definitely my perfect house. I'm telling you. You just get satellite. I probably, you know, you probably would get fairly decent broadband there. Honestly, you probably would. Because if you could afford that, you know, it wouldn't be a problem, would it? You can install your own satellite if need be. It's just, you know what we're like with our neighbours. They are incessantly noisy. They are incessantly stupid. Yeah, could well do without it. I don't know about the weather. Mind you, yeah, nice sea breeze, wouldn't you? I actually wonder if the waves ever get that high that they go over it. I mean, it looks fairly tall, but you never know. I'd love to know. I would love more information about that. Yeah, apart from the price, it's a little bit much. The one that's very rough would take a lot of work, wouldn't it? And I was actually thinking it would probably cost more than it did to buy the thing, because the stuff you would need wouldn't be standard stuff, and then you've got to get it there. Then you've got the work folk to get there with it. So sad. But, you know, even the rough one, when you saw the rough one and then you saw, you know, and this is what it looks like when it was made over, it's like, wow. Oh, wow. Maybe I should take on a smaller project like the garden shed first. Just an idea. We've got a holiday coming up in 2 weeks. I wonder what we're going to do. Oh, would it be a good time to mention one? No, he's gone. Where's he disappeared to? I was just going to say one, three, two. Oh, it's too soon for that. And anyway, it's not when Jonathan least expects it. built a state prison on a beautiful island, and they had to close it down before any inmates arrived because there were complaints it was cruel to live on an island. Really? Oh, Kim, we could buy it. We could buy it, and we could make it like a mini MacBites headquarters, couldn't we? A nice worldwide retreat for all the MacBiters. No, Jonathan, not another one. Not tonight. Give me a chance to breathe. But I am pointing out that we have a holiday coming up. I know exactly what needs to be done on the holiday, though. Simon, get yourself off and get yourself tested, just in case. no news on the iMac yet, Jonathan, but it's all going to have to pull together shortly. Let's just say that. Going to have to pull together, given when the holiday is. Yes, I'm suspecting within the next week. We'll see how that goes. But you do realise, don't you, this might totally put you off. You do realise that if a new iMac lands, it needs to be brought up to speed. And that can take some time. And while I'm doing that, I'm not doing anything else, am I? MacBites-ish. So you might actually want me to stay with this one until it melts, which, given that yet again we are in the humid area, this is annoying me now, because the humidity went last week. Temperature was the same. But once it was less humid, I was quite happy. You know, then let people have their temperatures. Let me have a nice cool breeze. But no, it's just muggy warm, muggy warm. And on my calendar, on my weather app, cloudy rain, cloudy rain, cloudy rain, cloudy rain, cloudy rain and cloudy rain. And then finally, a week today, sunshine behind a cloud. And then cloudy rain and cloudy rain. So it looks like the humidity is here to stay till forever. Unless I get really aggravated. They're still saying 128 gig, Jonathan. So I'll get my job to speak to them, obviously. Yeah, I could ring, but loathe the phone with a passion. So I'll check, and if it's 128, then it's 128, and that's that. Ooh, Kim's mum's iPad arrives tomorrow to set up. Any advice? I'm assuming your mother's already got an Apple ID. If she does, is it a free one? How much storage is there, and would she be able to automatically back it up? That's probably number one advice. Do you have a list of apps you want to install? Are they already purchased? What else could you do? Maybe having all the passport words ready. Actually, have you got a password manager? That's the first thing that goes on mine, because I can't install anything else until it does. You know, I can't log into anything. Other than that, I guess it's just setting them up. Has she got an iPad that you could transfer from, or are you setting it up as new? I'm weird with iPads. I always set them up as new. Phones, I do transfer things across. Last time I set the phone up as new, if you remember, because it arrived at a most inopportune moment. he'd gone for petrol, if you recall. Idiot. So I set it up as new and I used it that night. And then about 6 days later, I'd researched everything and I thought, I'm going to do an over the top here, you know, a transfer rather. So I transferred an image of what I had. And that meant I didn't have any problems with the watch. I didn't have any problems with the health data. What was the other issue? Can't remember what the other issue was. But with an iPad, no, I always set them up as new. I would try. Do you think she could cope with the password manager? Even if it's the built-in thing. Because it would make it easier to log into everything, which would save you support calls, wouldn't it? So I'd set that up. I'm trying to think what I set up on an iPad. Mainly it's the apps and getting them in the right place. And another thing would be getting rid of apps that you don't want her to be tinkering with. A good tip for that is, if you put them in a folder. Good idea, she calls all the time. Exactly. If you could just make it that bit easier where it's virtually automatic and all she has to do is either look at it or, you know, touch the ID. But another good idea, if there's stuff you don't want her to play around with. I did this with my dad. Parental controls work both ways, you know. She's still with Chicken.
Chicken.
Make a folder for them and then put the least dangerous icon in the front page of the folder. But what you can do in a folder is then add extra items and put them on page 2 of the folder. But 99% of people open a folder, see that it doesn't have the full complement of icons, and assume there isn't a page 2. So if there's things that you don't want to uninstall, you know, they need to be there for whatever reason, but you just don't want to tinkering around with them, then that's a good tip. I create a settings folder. It's one of the things I do. One of the first things I do. Let's have a look.
Kim, my mother has a book as well, doesn't she?
She does, but that was better than what she had. I take full responsibility for buying her the book, but seeing as though her passwords were on post-it notes stuck above her desk, I felt the book was an improvement.
One step up.
Yes, the book was an upgrade. Yeah, the first thing I do is create a settings folder in the top right-hand corner of page one, left-hand corner. And in there, I've got the actual settings, and I put the App Store and Test Flight, Find My iPad, stuff like the stores, music, all that kind of stuff. There's even things in there like Firefox Focus. Firefox Focus is a browser. And although I use Firefox as my main browser on the iPad, Firefox Focus has ad blocking for iPad in it. So all I do with it is install the app and then use that from the settings and say ad block with Firefox Focus. So all the things that are in there are things that you don't usually interact with on a daily basis. And as I say, then you've got this option to have like a secret hidden page. So I've got my settings. What I do on the bar at the bottom, I've got my most frequently used apps, which is Files, File Browser, Drafts, Gmail, Firefox, Notion, Notability, OmniFocus, Scrivener, and Ulysses. But to give myself a little bit more wiggle room, I actually have 3 folders as well. Now, I doubt your mother will be doing this, but my rationale for that was you can now have an app that is open and it will open full screen, and then you'll want potentially to put a second app next to it. And I don't want to do the jiggle dance where you've got to minimise the app you've got to drag up another app and then try and get it on the top of the other one, because the app that you are trying to add to the dual view setting isn't available from the bar at the bottom. So the 3 folders have got the apps in that I'm most likely, they're the kind of my secondary apps. I mean, things like PDF Expert, Goodreader, DevonThink, Google Drive, all of Pages, Numbers, Keynote, PowerPoint, Excel, Word. The kind of things that I might want to share a screen with something else. And that way it makes it easier. I can just swipe up, tap on the folder and add it to the view without having to minimise the other app first. But I can't see. You're going to be teaching your mother that, not yet. Are you going to show a dual screen? If you are, then that folder tip's a good one. I split it up into 3. I consider the first one to be the apps I'm most likely to use, like PDF Expert, etc., and all of the Office apps. The second one is stuff like the clock, time zones. What on earth are they doing out there? Still illegal, isn't it?
To shoot.
Yes.
Yes.
Darn it. So I've got the clock, I've got time zones, I've got Google Calendar, I've got backup calendars, I've got day one, and I also put the news and the weather in that category. So I call that personal information management.
See you, Johnny.
Good night, Jonathan. See you tomorrow. Then the third folder I've got is called Utilities. And the stuff I put in there is, as the name implies, utilities. So I have put 1 password in there so I can get to it quickly. The shortcuts icon's in it. My clipboard synchronizer's in it. A Notable, which is an app that I use.
My tower's first murder.
It could well happen, Simon. If you hear of a naughtiness in South Manchester, that'll be us. Because they're idiots. I put secondary browsers in there as well. And that means I hardly ever have to go and get an app. The apps that aren't in those folders, you know, there are some that they just kind of sit there. But they're the apps that I would probably want full screen, or I would just go into and that would be it. You probably need to think about how you're going to organise the icons for her. I've got lots of folders. So, for instance, I actually have a folder for YouTube because I've got the YouTube app for watching YouTube. I've got YouTube Studio for managing my channel. And then I've got TubeBuddy, which is also for managing the channel. So it makes sense to have that in a YouTube folder. Again, with notes, you know, I've got OneNote, Evernote, Penultimate, Bear, Notes, Agenda, Editorial, Outliner Pro, Map Note, and the Whiteboard apps, and good notes. So I've got lots of apps that are notes apps. Again, I don't think she's going to have that, is she? Oh, when you're thinking about notes, it might be handy to give her access to notes, Apple Notes, because it all synchronises and everything. But the one thing to be careful of, and I don't use it myself, so I have no idea when you see it, but I do know a lady who trains seniors. That's a business in the States. And more than once, she's had a situation where they've gone into notes and they've added a note. So this is Apple Notes and they've added a note. And I don't know if it prompts you at some point for if you want to secure it. It isn't doing that for me. But the seniors in question, and like I say, there's more than one, have been prompted to secure the note. Now, it's asking for a notes password, not their genuine Apple password. And a lot of these seniors have made the note, which is incredibly important to them. And then they've seen this encrypt the note thing and they've put a password in that they thought was their Apple ID password that turns out not to have been their Apple ID password. And now they have no idea what the password for the note is. And there's no way to get into that note without knowing the password. So if she's going down that route, think about either making sure that she doesn't encrypt the thing, or if she does, she knows the password. These seniors wanted these notes back, and this lady got onto Apple support and explained the situation, and they said there's no way. If you don't have that password, it isn't even that you can use your master Apple password to unlock the note. You just can't. So I would say, lesson to be learnt there, either know the password or don't ever lock a note. I mean, to get to the notes, you'd have to get into the iPad. So I don't particularly do that. I mean, I explained last week with DevonThink, I had huge problems trying to encrypt a database. I thought, oh, we'll do this as a test, I thought. It encrypted all right. Could I get it on another iPad? No. So I thought, you know what, just take the password off it. And it worked fine. And I know it was the right password because it was in 1Password and I copied and pasted it. And it still didn't like it. What else is there? Having a think. You could actually. You know you can put a certain number of icons on a page. But you don't actually have to fill the page before you start the next page. So one thing to do would be to put the primary apps on page one, and possibly even when you put the wallpaper up, put the wallpaper up with some help notes on it. So deliberately keep the lower half of the screen free, and then like put some help notes on it for things that you think she might need prompting with. Other than that, it's just a matter of sitting down and doing some training, isn't it? I do have a folder that doesn't have a name. It's an icon, the smiling pile of poo. And what's in it is all the rubbish from Apple, like Stocks and iMovie and GarageBand and all that garbage. So I just put it in a folder. If you wanted something a little less descriptive, you could always use the little green Apple logo. But hey, that's just me. What can I say? I always found their apps users. I know you can uninstall them now, but you never know when you might want them back to do some kind of demo. So I just put them well out of the way. Well out of the way. Having a quick look at everything else. Other than that, I think you're good to go. It's just a matter of choosing what applications would make most sense. And making sure that they're easily accessible. Another folder that I've got that I don't think she would need is a cloud folder, which is Dropbox, OneDrive, Box, Amazon Drive, Yandex and pCloud. Don't think she'd need that. The thing is, with an icon like that, she's not going to forget it. You can just say, leave that alone. Don't go in there. That way madness lies. That's been like that since forever, you know. And another one that I put an icon on is all the recorder apps that I have, and I just put a red dot. So I know that's like for recording. Yeah, emojis are good. Emojis are good. Especially with seniors, if their eyesight isn't what it was. Because if you look at the smiling pile of poo icon, you know exactly what it is. Even if you couldn't read text. So yeah, emojis are quite good for naming folders, if you are that way inclined. You might want to think about locking the home screen if you wanted to see the stuff on the left hand side, which is whatever you decide to put there. But in my case, I've got batteries and Google Calendar, and that's it. So all the widgets that you've got, you can say keep on the home screen, in which case the home screen will stay there rather than being on and off like a yo-yo. So just think about what would work best, because otherwise she might get confused. She might be trying to swipe left, thinking that there's another page backwards. And what that will actually do is show her the sidebar with the widgets. So possibly lock that there rather than have it hiding and showing. It'll depend very much on... Has she had an iPad before? Does she know what she's letting herself in for? Oh, I remember Nina when she got her iPad. She wanted the small one. And Chidge got her the bigger one. I think it was a 9.7. But his was an iPad mini, and she wanted an iPad mini. But then she realised the iPad mini was like as old as the hills and ran quite slow. So then she was happy she'd got the newer one. But there was quite a few things, and one of the things that means she still keeps this laptop is the genealogy software that they use. And it's licensed for Windows. And I don't even think there is a version for iPad. Now, there's plenty of genealogy software for the iPad, but I don't think it's the one that Nina's got. So she keeps this Windows PC for it. And she gets very exasperated when things don't print properly from an iPad. So if a printer's involved here, you might need to think about that as well. The app that I use to control the printer is... Let's have a look at the name... Was that I got this not that long ago, because obviously we don't print that much. I think the printer just kind of dies a death because it's never used. Print to Size is the one that I use. Another one is Printer Pro.
Did you demo that?
I did demo Print to Size. That was thing. Yes. But Printer Pro is very, very good as well. I haven't been able to demonstrate Printer Pro. I'd love to. But what I use it for, I haven't been able to. I remember Jane getting quite excited about it because I think she had some kind of air printing thing going on long, long time ago. And it acted as a kind of conduit between the printer she wanted to print to and the iPad. Now, what I actually use it for, my primary job until that went south, when we went to do the church count, we needed to print the sheets out. Now, actually, everyone else fills them in with a quill pen. Not joking. But I automated it I built this solution in Excel and Numbers because I needed two spreadsheets open side by side. So I built this solution, but then the issue was, then I needed to print it out. So I could print to PDF on the iPad and then do a cloud dance to try and get it across to the church PC and then actually print from the PC to the printer. But what this app enabled me to do, because the printer they've got is the size of a small room, there was no way I could just connect to it. It does everything else, but it doesn't do air print. But what I was able to do was attach this, cling on to this printer, attach myself to this printer via a custom IP port. So I ended up using Wi-Fi to get to this printer with this app. So it didn't do it directly, but with the app, I could do that. Which meant when I was in an app, I just tapped print and it printed out to this printer. And obviously we've not done the count because no one's been at church, but not since before Christmas. But it always amazed me that I was sat there at the desk with just an iPad and I would tap and say print. And this huge printer next to me, industrial strength was an understatement, would just whir into life and print straight from my iPad. That fascinates me to this day. Have we actually set it up to print next door? I think we have. But I think I'll have to add another one because it says it's offline, which obviously it's lying. And now I've got two of them, but I do believe it's on that one. Let's print a test page, see if that worked. Mike can always go and pick it up for me, can't you, Mike? Talking of which, can you just get me that? If that printer printed anything, could you just give it to me? And then I can answer this question, which nothing printed. It looks bad or it looks good. So I just need the piece of paper that's printed. Right. Thank you. I'm getting the daggers here. She has an iPad mini. She can't feel her fingers anymore. So we're trying the pencil to see if it's easier for her to use. And she's got an iMac. And she's really good on that. Then the other thing is, did you manage to get the iPad you've got? Is it Pencil 1? If it's Pencil 1, I'd get one of those rubber tips for it. And that way she can use the pencil in two ways. She can tap with it, which can be quite slippy, to be honest. Whoa, it printed out and it looks fine. But she could also flip it round and use the rubber tipped end for things where it's just like an icon or something. Because sometimes with the pencil, it doesn't tap the first time. But the other one. Brilliant, you got the rubber tip. Fine, then she should be able to switch that round to whatever's best. Sometimes the tapping of the pencil will drive you insane. I mean, obviously, if you're writing in something like Notability, then that's the way to go. But if you're playing a game or doing a Sudoku or something, I just flip the pencil round and tap that way. Haven't obviously been able to do that with Pencil 2. So depending on what I'm doing, I'll grab a different iPad because of the pencil. Because as far as I'm concerned, the pencil's got like extra functionality over Pencil 2. I probably could do it on Pencil 2 with some kind of like end of pencil eraser. But I haven't actually tried that yet. Because it needs to be touch-enabled, doesn't it? Not tried it yet, but I could do. Yes, so that printer thing works. So it's just a way, depending on what printer. I mean, if the printer she's got AirPrint, you're good to go. If not, Printer Pro by Riedel. That will let you, on a one-time job, set up a printer, and then she should just be able to print to it, even if it's not Wi-Fi enabled. And the other one was Print to Size, which you might need if you're trying to print a photograph out and it just doesn't want to print. But if she's got an iMac, then she might well do that on the iMac. And the only reason I went down that path with Nina was that Nina didn't have an iMac, and the PC, the photos that she wanted to print were on the iPad because that had synchronised with the phone, and obviously the PC synchronises with nothing. So then she'd have to email it to herself and all the rest of it. And I think there's some automatic processing goes on, isn't there? Where when you email it, you automatically get like a lower quality image. It was easier for me to just say, go to the store, buy this app, then print to it, than it was try and fix all the things you would need to fix to just make it work natively. So she was quite happy with Print to Size, very happy. She's printing out all her photos now. Very happy bunny. Now, in terms of utilities, what utilities would potentially be handy?
I'll see you later.
Enjoy your meeting.
Thank you. She's on a mat.
No problem.
She's not being out.
Oh. Oh, right. In that case, she might want to go out.
I'll try taking her
out. If she doesn't want to go out, though, she's not going to be happy, bunny, so leave her be. No. Leave her be. If she starts creating, I'll take her out.
I don't know what time we'll be finishing.
That's fine. Whenever.
They're having breakout rooms.
They're having breakout rooms. It's a bit like speed dating, but for men. You know I'm right. Do you randomly get put in a breakout room? Or is it I want to meet with my buddy?
I'm running the show.
Oh,
yes.
It'll be random then. Or he'll put like oil and water together just to see what happens. I have a habit of doing that, don't I, dear? No, enjoy yourself. We'll be fine, won't we, gang? We might earwig. We might sneak in and then do a desktop share or something.
Really?
We have been known to do that. And then I relay what's going on. Yes. Yes. Because Stuart's in there too. Get the room open before, because you know what'll happen. I want to see my friends.
There'll be nobody there. It's only 22.
Trust me, there will be. They'll be saying, can you hear me? Is the microphone working? Oh, believe you me. Isn't a tech savvy one? I don't think Simon heard that. Oh, Deb, CQ, how are you doing? I'm thinking of apps that might be useful. Depends what she's going to do with it. Do I have generic stuff? One thing that might help would be an app to synchronise the clipboard. Now, you are supposed to be able to do that, aren't you, between an iPad and a Mac? I've never had any joy other than with an app. There's Copied or there's Copy and Paste. I've used Copied for a long, long time because I wanted that synchronisation feature and I wanted it to actually work. But I've been experimenting with Copy and Paste. Not really because there was anything wrong with Copied. I was actually looking for something supplemental to use for a specific job. And when I installed it and I went through the, you know, the orientation of it does this and that, there was a couple of things it did that Copied doesn't. And then I thought, yeah, but the reason that you left this one be was that you wanted it on the iPad. But there is actually an iPad version. Only issue with the iPad version. The Mac version of Copy and Paste, you buy and that's it. But the iOS version, guess what? There's a subscription. Isn't there always these days? I think it's $6.99 a year. I mean, it wouldn't break the bank, but that's not the point. So Copied is just, you just buy it. I don't know whether she'd have a need for that. What else have I got in here? Might be an idea to set up a secondary browser, just in case she can't see something on the primary one. And if you do, so say like Firefox, create a Firefox account, and then it will synchronise with her desktop. And the beauty of that is, once you've got that configured, if you then tap in the URL bar, there's three dots in the URL bar of Firefox, and most browsers have it somewhere, but this just happens to be in the URL bar. There is a share page with, which will share the page, but there's also send to device. When you tap on send to device, it lists the devices that are logged in to the same Firefox account. And if you just tap on one of the devices, it puts a tick next to it. You tap OK, and then you actually get a tab open in the browser on the desktop. So it takes what's open on the iOS device and passes it through to the desktop one, which I have used on a couple of occasions. So I like that one. Other than that, I think that's about it. Oh, another webinar, Deb. You missed what? What did you miss, Simon? What's going on? What did you miss? The other browsers, the alternative browsers, I mean, at the moment, although there's talk of this changing in iOS 14, you can't make another browser, your default. Which might you might think, oh, well, I won't bother then. But once you stick Safari somewhere out of the way, most apps do let you choose your default browser. So, for instance, Gmail does, Google Calendar does. You can actually choose, you know, if you tap on something in your email and it's a web page, it will open up Firefox. It will read what's on your system and it will open up the right browser. But just a spare, really, in case, you know, sometimes you can't open a browser. You can't open a page in a specific browser. You can never have too many browsers, I find. I actually have a folder with extra browsers in. Where's my extra browsers? What have I got on here? Oh, I think I've got Edge do one. iCab does one, which is a very good one. There was one called Dolphin. I don't know if that's still going. But I always felt with different browsers, you know, them just keeping things separate. But the ability to share, just ping one page across. You don't have to synchronise anything. You just tap send to X device. So in this case, it would be send from an iPad to the iMac. Send to iMac. Boom, it's there. Just opens it. It's brilliant. I love that. These are really good. Mike shouted your name. He did. I was making mock of the people that are going into his meeting. So I will fully admit that was all my fault. And then I said, what happened last time was, it was decided at a higher level than the local group that when people logged in, they would put up this message of instructions. So Mike did exactly that. And these people logged in, and we are not talking 4-year-old girls. We are not. These are grown men, supposedly, who started whining like a 7-year-old girl looking for a unicorn. I want to see my friends. And I said, but they're grown men. And Mike went, I know, So what we were saying was that you half heard was me saying, I want to see my friends. I can't hear what's going on. And Mike saying, what, like Simon, you mean? But that wasn't you. That wasn't you. In your defence, that was Google Chrome. Hello, Kevin. How are you doing? I missed your call yesterday. I was still in my training and then I had to work all night. We will catch up. We will. How are you doing? We know you're big in VA. That's Kevin's Twitter handle if you were unaware. Kevin is like me. He adores Christmas. And we usually have a New Year's call, don't we, Kevin? But we didn't manage it this year. Why didn't we manage it this year? I can't remember. Oh, I was ill. Mike and I were ill. We got ill after Christmas. I think it was about the 27th. We think it could have been COVID. But if it was extremely mild. But we couldn't stop coughing. And at the time, you know, that wasn't a thing. It was like, oh, I've just got a cough. You know, you weren't thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die. It was just a cough. But it never turned into a cold. It just withered away. I don't recall losing my sense of smell or taste, but we think it might be. But it was bad enough that you were really tired. You're doing great for an old man. Rubbish, Kevin. You are not old. None of us are old. It's just that Jonathan's younger than most of us. And he doesn't like it because he's a millennial. We've just been configuring Kim's mother's iPad for her. I'm trying to think if there's anything else she would need. Probably not. Just the apps that you want to put on there. Unless you'd like to send things and stuff, then you'd need clouds and things. Email clients, I must admit, I use the Gmail client. I never thought I'd see the day, but I did. In fact, I always remember Mike saying that he used, it was when we were talking about email and how you manage your email. And he said, oh, I just use a browser. And I'm like, what? You know, no way. You couldn't possibly do that. And what I was thinking of was the little extra things you get in these email clients. But I got increasingly annoyed with them. You know, ones that I'd used for years and years, all of a sudden, they became a subscription, paid for, all kinds of weirdness going on with them. I mean, I don't mind paying, but some of the prices for these apps were ludicrous. So I decided in the end I'd just use the Google app. And you know, best decision. Best decision. That way I don't have to make any decisions about stuff like that. And one of the good things about that is that you can save stuff straight to Google Drive. And you can send things from Google Drive without actually downloading them, which I like as well. So I'm doing that right at this second because I've just remembered the church newsletter arrived and I haven't actually done that yet. So I'm uploading it to Google Drive, from whence I will be able to see it in my VM. Oh, you will have a new Apple toy. Oh, what's that? We need to know. Oh, a Series 3 watch. Brilliant. 60's the new 40, Kevin. It definitely is. The owners of the holiday cottage that we booked in September have cancelled, so might be buying a new Apple toy now. I don't have to pay for the holiday. Oh, Anthony, result. Would you have fancied going anyway? That's where this girl at Mike's place was in trouble. It's she'd planned a holiday. I mean, weird country to go on holiday to be honest. Croatia. I still think of Croatia as like a war zone, which apparently parts of it are and parts of them aren't. Part of them, the place is really lovely. The other one, probably less so. But they've literally got to the point where, I think it was today or yesterday, if you go over there, you've got 14 days quarantine when you get back. Why would you go? And it was because I don't want to lose the money. I wouldn't have booked the holiday. Because you can get some great last minute deals anyway, can't you? So booking a holiday this far in hand, from now on, I really don't see the point. Because anything could happen. That new health board that was set up in the UK to handle future pandemics, I thought, how many are we thinking of having? Is it a thing? But apparently, yes, it is a thing. Oh, I tell you what else, if we're talking about sexy toys, I spotted this yesterday. Right, let me have a look. Deb beats Kevin, 63. Yes, but 63 is the new 43, so you're still okay. You were nervous, disappointed but relieved. Bridlington. I've heard, never been to Bridlington, but I've heard it's lovely. That's where, nervous but disappointed. Way back when this all started, we'd literally just come back from Alverston. So a week later, we had this do. And it was Friday the 6th of March. I'd been to the dentist. I was nervous about that, to be honest. But they'd made it that it was like one in, one out. And it felt reasonably safe, given the time. But, you know, would I have gone 2 weeks later? No. So I'd been to the dentist, and then we went to this evening do, and people were, like, banging elbows. Then the following Friday, we had this gig arranged for my Scotinians, and it was a brass band that had been arranged for ages. In fact, I think it's a silver band. I'm not sure of the difference. Silver band. And they were coming probably about 80 miles. And it gets to lunchtime on the day. And I'm saying, I don't see many people turning up. Even if they bought tickets, it was £10 a ticket. I said, I don't see people turning up. Seriously, I don't. So I said, why don't we talk to the band? So we talked to the band. And the band were very much like, oh, you know, we wouldn't want to let you down. And we're like, darn it. We were thinking, this needs to be cancelled. So we said, well, we'll have a think about it for a couple of hours. So the guy said, fine. So I said to Mike when we got off the phone, you do realise we're going to have to cancel this, don't you? I said, because if we didn't and something happened, and by this stage, you know, it was the 13th of March. So it was 10 days before we officially went into nationwide lockdown, but very much people were starting to drop like flies. So I said, I think we need to cancel it, but I don't really know how to tell the guys, because at that stage we'd have to have offered a refund, but we would have felt obliged to pay them because it was us that was cancelling it. So I said, but it definitely needs to be cancelled. Mike said, yeah, it does. So the next thing, the phone rang, and it was the leader of the band, and he said, yeah, if you were minded to cancel it, that would be like absolutely fine. We were dancing around each other. So we agreed we would cancel it. That was the end of that. And the next thing that happened, it was cancelled. I think that night and the following morning, we had to then make a decision about everything else that was coming up. And we took the decision, obviously, to bin the whole thing as well. So at that point, I'm just thinking, like you were saying, you booked last year. Yeah, I can understand that. But I'm thinking now, I'm really thinking that I wouldn't dare now. I really wouldn't dare. But we got away with the one with the brass band. The other one was two venues for the end of year weekend. One was a huge hotel locally. It's the one we went to when we did Ladies' Night, which was the one with the carrot cake and Mike, me being a DJ and Mike dancing, that one. Biggest event of the year. And we'd booked the same venue and we'd got an amazing deal from them. Because obviously this place is hugely expensive, you're talking thousands. I think the last one was nearly £4,000 to hire the place. We did get an amazing deal. So obviously we had to cancel it. And with it being us cancelling it, you'd have lost the deposit, amazing deal or not. So what we agreed with them was that we would reschedule it. But that was going to be very difficult because it was our end of year party. And obviously our year's gone. The next guy's in charge. We can't really hijack his year in the middle and say, whoa, our end of year party. So we left it for a good few months. And Mike rang them up and said, you know, we were still obviously not able to rearrange this for any particular date. How about we just call it quits? And, you know, they were amenable to it and they did. So we solved that problem. I think the other one, the other venue, the deposit could be used against meals in the place, which, you know, I'm not going anywhere for a meal. I think in the end, you know, once it got to like 5 months, they were like, OK, you know, we can't hold you to this. And I think that came back our way as well. which is pretty decent, isn't it? But I wouldn't expect that with a holiday. And I think you would be in a very difficult position to think, I don't really want to go, but I don't really want to sit at home and then think about all the money I've spent on not going away. It's a tricky one. But my plan now would be, I wouldn't book a holiday in hand. I think you can get some really good deals. We noticed, and the deals might not be in terms of money. The deals might be like the number of days or something. We noticed that we'd booked, this wasn't this year, I think it was last year, when we booked for Alverston, and it was, you can only have 3 days, and some people didn't want to be there on the Monday. And for us, it wasn't a problem. We just booked a day off work and that was that. But other people didn't want to. So they'd have to pay for 3 days, but actually only be there for 2 days. But I noticed in the papers in the 2 weeks leading up to our weekend away, there were some fantastic deals to be had, and they would let you take 2 days, which pro rata was cheaper, because people had cancelled. Now, I know you couldn't guarantee it. And if you were thinking, no, I'm not going to book, I'm going to wait until the death, maybe you could get a great deal, but it would be for the wrong days, so your mates wouldn't be with you. But they were equally as good as the deal we got, and we got this huge deal because we were a big party. Yes, it's tricky. I think I'd wait. Party for the MacBiters when it's over, and if it works, you will FaceTime into chat. That's a good idea, Kevin. I reckon we could all FaceTime in. We should have a Christmas party. Because we love Christmas so much, don't we? I'm liking that idea. We will be planning that, Kevin. Have you noticed how many MacBites there's been? You've probably read the mails if you subscribed. I've got a bet on with Jonathan. Jonathan challenged me. And that was the end of that, as it were. So we're up to number 9. He's challenged me to get 12 out in the year. Kim is our umpire. Night, Simon. Kim is our umpire, and she agreed that a show counted as a show as long as it was 30 minutes or more. This week, 41 minutes. And every show that is beyond the 12 that Jonathan wanted, I get an extra point for Friday night. I don't know if you watch the videos of After Hours, but if Jonathan doesn't make it to the end of the show, I get a point. If he does, he gets a point. And he's not been faring so well lately. Despite everybody cheering him on, particularly Neil, his number one supporter, it doesn't end well. Oh dear. Yes, never mind. So, as long as I get the next 3 shows out, every show after that's a point to me. But it's not all bad news for Jonathan, is it? Because it does mean he gets his MacBites. So actually, we should have gamified this years ago, shouldn't we? But we can actually legitimately talk now about 132, because Jonathan's gone off to talk to the family. Any ideas for 132? I'm still reeling from the staircase in 131. I actually put a picture of that in Slack for Jonathan today. It's obscene, just saying. I mean, it's a lovely thing to look at, but, you know, as a functional staircase, no. And it's like one of these things. I always remember when I met Mike. We were walking out of the ground. Now, we met at Old Trafford. And I went on my own. So Mike went with some friends. Most people went with friends, to be honest, but I went on my own. And I parked my car about 3/4 of a mile from the stadium. And it was a friend of my dad's who lived there. And she had a match day parking permit, but she didn't have a car. So she said, just park it at mine. So I had this parking permit and I could just drive up her road and park on her drive, which I did. Didn't hurt that she had a dog as well and I didn't. So going to the ground, not a problem. It was usually daylight. Even a night match, it would be daylight. Coming out of the ground between October and March, and it was pitch black. So I'm walking along the main road. But I'm walking along the main road that close to the edge of the pavement that if a car went past in a puddle, I'd get wet. And it's like, why are you walking there? So once I'd met Mike and we were walking back, I still did the same thing. And he's like, what are you doing? And he said, the other thing is, who are you looking for? I said, what do you mean? So he says, you're always looking over your shoulder. And I realised, even though I was with Mike, I was still doing what I would normally do, which is I'd walk as far away from the bushes at the side of the pavement so I was nearer the road, just in case. You never know. You never know, a lady on your own, you never know. And I always walked very quickly, and I'd take like 8 paces and then I'd look over my left shoulder, then I'd take another 8 paces, look over my right shoulder. Ladies, tell me that this is not just me. You are just very aware of your surroundings. And Mike was like, why are you looking over your shoulder constantly? And I looked at him and I thought, my God, he doesn't know. Ladies just have to have this extra sense. You really do, just to keep safe. In that regard, I was in London sitting some exams. And I needed to go wherever I was going. I think I was coming back from an exam. Exactly, Kim. Street Smarts for Women 101. I was coming back from a place called Belsize Park, which is on the Northern Line. That's pertinent because the Northern Line is the Northern Line and no other lines go anywhere near it. Once it gets past Camden, that's it. It's the Northern Line or nothing. So I was coming back on this thing and I was going to have to change at King's Cross. But I think I was going to change at King's Cross. So I didn't have to get out of the station at King's Cross. I just had to get from the Northern Line platform to the Bakerloo Line. And I was going to then go, so I'd come south and then I was going to head west up to Regent's Park. And I was getting off at Baker Street. Yes, Sherlock Holmes, Baker Street. So I'm on this train and I get off. And I'm walking through the station and I just thought there's somebody following. I was really uncomfortable. So I slowed down and he slowed down and I quickened up and he quickened up and I thought, right, game on. I went right up to the top of the station, which was actually where the fire was. You remember the King's Cross fire? Gets up to the very top of it. And I scarped. I turned right to go up some stairs. So this was going to take me out onto the street, even though I needed to be in the station to get on the Bakerloo line. But I thought, no, what I'll do is I'll amble up to these stairs. But as soon as I turn right, I'm out of his sight. And he was probably about 15 yards behind. And I thought, what I'll do, I'll get on the first step and I will leg it up these stairs. And I'll double back on myself. So it looked like a walkway coming out of the station, and on your right and your left there were stairs to go up to street level. And I thought, if I dive up the right one and then double back round on myself and down the left one, I'll be back where I started and hopefully I'll have lost him. So this sounds like a film, doesn't it? But honestly, guys, this happens all the time. If you're a guy, you have no idea. So put my foot on the first step, legged it up to the top, doubled back on myself, got to the top of the stairs opposite, and then came down slowly enough to make sure that he had actually gone up these stairs. I gets to the bottom of the stairs on the left, and he is stood at the top of the stairs on the right, looking round. And I thought, definitely. So I did a quick right and then back down onto the Bakerloo line. So I was miles away. The other time that happened, I was in a shoe shop with my mother. If there's one thing I loathe, it's clothes shopping. If there's one thing I loathe more than clothes shopping, it's shoe shopping. For instance, twice in the last sort of 15 years, if I find a pair of shoes that I like, I'll try them out and then I will buy like 10 pairs of them. And then I will just carry on wearing them until I drop off my feet. And then I have to go out and find some more shoes. I hate shoe shopping. But she decided for some reason, it could have been a do or something. I literally have no memory. Oh, actually, it could have been the boots she wanted me to buy. Oh, it's getting cold, you need boots. I know, Mother, I don't. But she took me to this shop. And it had huge racks of shoes. All sale items were there, the normal stuff's at the back on the racks. And there were these like seats that were circular. So I'm sat on one of these seats and she's bringing me all these shoes. And I'm like, don't bring me any more. I can't handle it, Mother. And I really did just couldn't deal with shoe shopping. When I spots this guy and he's at one of the racks with a pair of ladies' shoes in his hand. And then he puts them down and he picks up another pair of ladies' shoes. But the thing was, he wasn't looking at the shoes. He was looking at my feet and he was looking at the feet of a lady. It's that opposite. So I'm looking down at the floor with my eyes cranked round to the right, watching him. And I thought, dear God, it's somebody with a foot fetish, which put me in an even worse temper because I didn't want to be in a shoe shop to start with. So I watched him and I watched him. And he was just literally picking up shoes, putting them down, picking them up, putting them down. But he wasn't looking at them. So Mum comes back with yet another pair of boots. Well, by this stage, I'd had enough. I think I was probably about 21. And you know that bravado of being 20. And the shoe shop was fairly empty. There was all of the assistants, but there was me, Mum, this lady, the guy, and possibly two other people. So I didn't feel in the slightest bit awkward when she brought these boots back. And she said, do you want to try these on? So I waited and it was all quiet in the shop. And I said, yes, I'll try those on when the guy over there with the foot fetish has left. You should have seen the speed he got out of that shop. And the thing was, Mum was like, oh my God, she didn't know where to look. She was very quiet, was my mother. But I was just in the foulest of tempers. When the lady opposite said to me, I thought he was looking and I felt really awkward, but I didn't like saying anything. See, the perils of being a lady. So when I saw that staircase, you can imagine my abject horror. This happens in broad daylight in a shoe shop. I mean, the guy wouldn't have had to have left, would he, if he hadn't been up to mischief? But it was unmistakable. It was so blatant. And, you know, when I go out, what if I actually enjoy trying shoes on? That doesn't mean I want to be an object of somebody's fetish, does it, while I do it? And wouldn't you sound ludicrous in a shoe shop saying, have you got a changing room? Perverts. Perverts are us, honestly. Tell you what, never saw the guy again. Tell you what else as well. Mum never took me shoe shopping again. Not after that. If I'd have known, I'd have done it years before. I've got bad memories of that. But I saw that staircase and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And I did think, there's no way Mike would twig that, because he just wouldn't be on his agenda. As a guy, it would not be on his agenda. And he looked at it and he went, dear God, upskirting. And I went, really? I couldn't believe he'd twigged. Maybe he's been with me that long. And you just sense it. You really sense it. Mike worked in a company about 20 miles from here. And I went with him one day. So he said, I need a magazine. So he said, there's a newsagent's across the road. So I went across to this newsagent's and I walked in, very old-fashioned newsagent's. Had like a smell of tobacco in there, really oldie-worldy. And the guy that was serving, I just took one look and I thought, you're kidding me. There was just something about this guy, incredibly creepy. And I know it sounds awful, like you don't know the guy, but you just get a sense. It's your spidery sense. So I paid for the thing, came out of the shop. I went back to Mike and I went, you know, next time, can you tell me where the nearest Smith's is? Now, Smith's is a large news agent. It sells like records as well. But they would have sold magazines and papers. So he said, why? You know, it's half a mile up the road. And he's opposite. I said, he was creepy. And Mike went, oh, God, not another one. I said, another what? He said, all the ladies here say exactly the same and they won't go in there either. I said, well, you might have told me that before I went in and not after. So I think I've developed his spidery sense. This is what I mean, Kim. It's not uncommon, is it? Kim had a guy circling her while studying in a library. What is it with these people? Honestly. It can be quite scary. I think if you are in any way nervous... I mean, there's no way my mother would have shouted out, I'll try him on when the foot fetish guy's gone. You know, she would have probably, if she felt that uncomfortable, she'd have probably put them back, left the store and gone back later. Why should she have to do that? And another thing, I figured, they've got CCTV in there. That guy must have been in there more than he was out, but he wasn't buying. So why didn't the staff get rid of him? But probably it's like, oh, can't do that. Can't do that. So you're pretty much left to your own devices. But the number of times things like that have happened. There was one time when I was driving down to London on my own. So I would drive to London and back up to four times a week. for university, and I had a job back in Manchester. So for us here, people would be horrified at how far that was. It's about 210 mile there, 210 back. So looking about 420 mile round trip. So I was doing over 1,200 miles a week sometimes. And obviously needed to fill the car up. And I only ever went to, if I got down to London, actually that one wasn't there then. I actually had a car. I was fortunate enough to have a car that was unleaded before it was trendy. And there was an unleaded petrol station opened in London. It only did unleaded, so it was always empty. But before that place opened, I would pull into what was known as Scratchwood Services on the M1. It's the first services out of London, so that's when I would fill up. My rationale with that was, it's fairly big, you know, that it's never quiet, so it's more safe. And I went in to pay for my petrol, and I didn't have a credit card at the time, so I would have been paying cash. The guy gives me a pen, and I said, I don't need a pen, I'm paying cash. Keep the pen. I thought, pardon. And like you say, it's like born identity. Keep the pen. I thought, I'm not walking out with the pen. And it was a cheap, we would call them Bic Biros. I don't know if you have them in the States. But it's a plastic pen and it's transparent. You can see the refill inside it. Keep the pen. And every time I tried to give the pen back, he wanted me to keep the pen. I'm like, what's going on? So he gives me my change. And as he gives me my change, he puts the pen in my hand. And I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm just leaving, with pen included, right? I gets outside, I gets in the car, and I just put the change and the pen, you know, on the seat beside me, locked all the doors before he decided to follow me, which he did. He was stood outside the door and pulled onto the M1. And I didn't stop again until I got to Birmingham, at which point I thought, best put this change away. So I started putting the change in my purse and I picked the pen up. He'd only put a note inside the pen. So with it being transparent, but obviously he didn't want to hand me a note because there was CCTV. So the note, massive air quotes, was inside the pen. And it said, I seen you, and it wasn't in even that good in English. I don't know if English was his first language. I seen you many weeks. You come back next week. We go out for drink. Needless to say, never went back there for petrol again. It's just crazy. And that was the same service area where I got out in my car and went round to the boot, and I was just, you know, moving my stuff around because I had a big pilot's case full of law books. So I was just moving stuff around and this guy came up. He looked like a Jehovah's Witness or something like that. And he had these brochures with him. And I said, I don't want one. And he was trying to hand them to me. And I said, I don't want one. And, you know, you just don't know with people, do you? Ladies, you know what I mean. You just don't know. And guys, if you've got a daughter, this is what they're going to face. He shoves two of these leaflets in my hand. And what I was concerned more about was, you know, like somebody gives you something and then say you've got to pay for it. I'm like, no, I don't want it. Don't give it to me. But he shoved it in my hand. And when I tried to shove it back in his, he wouldn't take it. He was putting his hands behind his back. It was all kinds of stuff. So, as I said, he looked like a Jehovah's Witness. He looked very, he didn't have like a hoodie on or whatever. He looked very well presented and he had a little jumper on. So while he had his hands behind his back, stopping me putting these things back in his hands, I'd closed the boot. I had my car keys in my hand and I had the keys sticking out between my fingers just in case he got even more frisky. And I pulled his jumper forward and shoved these brochures back inside and got in the car. But I remember saying to my mum, you know, I've not got time for this. Looking back now, she would have been about the age I am now. And if it were my daughter, I would just be in prayer every waking second she was out of the house. It is scary. I mean, you do. You laugh at it. But why do guys have to be so creepy like that? Not every guy, I'll admit. But why do some guys? That's just creepy. It's really creepy. So no, I never went back. A few months after that, I went to London with my father. He was driving. He said, I'll pull off at Scratchwood for some petrol. I said, no, I think you should get it before we get there. I thought, and I'm not telling him why. He'd have had a fit. He would have had a total meltdown. I remember telling Mum and she was like, oh, you did the right thing. You know, don't go back there again. But my dad would have gone mad. He'd have stopped me going to university. Or he'd have tried. Oh, Kim, no. No, no, I don't think I want to know what he did, but I think I've got a shrewd idea. Oh, no. God, that's worse than all the ones with me that didn't get that far. There are a lot of guys, Anthony, that are very weird. It's really nice when you meet a normal guy. Remember with Mike? He had stood where I was sitting this particular season. So I'd been to Old Trafford and I used to stand in a stand, but obviously there was no standing at this point. They're going to put seats in. So you had two options. You could either take your chance getting a seat in that stand on a match-by-match basis, which was why I was at Old Trafford every 3 weeks queuing for a ticket at 6 o'clock in the morning, or you could opt for a season ticket somewhere else. And at the end of that season, they would then allow you to move back into what's known as the South Stand Lower. So Mike had decided, because I didn't know him at this point. When this decision was made, I didn't know him. He decided he was going to move opposite to G Stand with four friends. And all these friends were girls. And I think they quite liked it that they kind of had Mike as a buddy, but none of them were going out with him. He was just their friend. You know, Mike was sort of tagging along. Mike's a nice guy. He is a lovely guy. And I kind of knew that straight away. Well, once they realised, which was the autumn of 91, we started going out in April 92, but in the autumn of 91, they kind of realised he was starting to look my way. And they were like, but he's our friend. So they started putting the poison down, being really nasty. Not in front of him, but just saying like, oh, he's so uncool and stuff, behind his back. And they were getting like, oh no, I wouldn't go out with him if I were you. And I'm like, what? I never said I was. They were just being like girls are, very nasty. I just knew he wasn't, that he was a lovely guy. You just know, don't you, ladies? Tell me you just know. It's a lot of miles. You're commuting to the office. You did just under 500 a week. Those days are gone. Oh, me too, Kevin. I loved it. At first, I also stayed in London for sort of weeks on end, and I loved London. But I think 2 to 3 years of somewhere as busy as that, and London is probably one of the busiest cities on the planet, you just get tired of it. You just get tired of it, and you want peace and quiet. So I moved back home. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I went there and I had that experience. Not necessarily the ones with the guys, but the experience of like London. I wouldn't be afraid to drive in London or find my way in London. I mean, don't let my dad loose on the underground. We nearly lost him twice. Thing with the underground is, it's like people who use it, the Londoners, the locals, they instantly understand the tickets they want and how it works and all of that. But there's a lot of tourists. And the locals get very, very fraught that things aren't moving faster. That, you know, if you've got a tourist in front of you, they don't know what they're doing when it comes to buying a ticket. And tempers fray. Somebody got knocked out on the underground yesterday because they didn't have a mask on. Or was it the guy who did have the mask on that got flattened? I think it could have been. He was complaining that one of the employees didn't have a mask on. And then a guy went past with a pram and he said, neither's he. And the guy with the pram left the pram with the baby in it and went across and floored this guy. And he ended up passed out on the floor. I presume then he got arrested. Couldn't make this stuff up. So London itself, not a bad experience, but other than that. So I was very, very, very glad to be working from home. You live in a planned 55 and over community and we had a stalker. Some of these weirdos don't age well either. Oh, that's diabolical. I really don't understand people, honestly. The things that you see and have to put up with. And it's terrible, you know, when you see it against somebody else as well. I mean, that guy was following me on the tube. What if I'd spotted him following somebody else? You'd feel such a fool saying to somebody, you're being followed. You know, you don't know if that's their kink for the day, do you? Just keep your mouth shut. But then how would you feel if something happened and you thought, well, I saw this guy. These days, you take a picture. And you'd upload it somewhere. But, you know, Back then you didn't. Anyway, we were talking about new toys, weren't we? And I said I'd spotted a new toy. This toy is the second computer I ever had. And they've got like a retro version available. It's not even that expensive. Ooh. Do you order one while my back's turned? Really, Kevin? Ooh, now we know. But you've settled down now. You're a family man now. And I'm sure you weren't creepy with it. Creepy takes it to another level. They have no feelings for anybody but themselves, honestly. It's funny looking back on it. I don't think they'd be following me now, but that's not the point. It meant everywhere you went, you had to be really careful. The first time my mother let me out of her sight was in a department store in Manchester where they had this like big function room on the top floor. And the Sooty Show had come to town and adults weren't allowed in. But she was so nervous. She took my uncle with us. He'd come to visit from Nottingham. So he got taken in with us. So there was the two of them. And as I'm going in, she's like, don't you sit next to a boy and don't do that, don't do that. And watch it. And I'm like, Mum, I just want to see the Sooty Show. But I look back now and she was so right. She was so right. She must have lived on her nerves for my entire life, poor woman. And I only fully appreciate it now. What can you do? Hey? So what do you think of that computer? Oh, that was my second precious baby. Who had a Commodore computer? Unfortunately, they went bump. They did get bought out and there was talk of a new Amiga, a new Commodore Amiga. Is that link loading for everybody? Ah, there it is. Oh, less than £100. Yeah, I had two of those. That was one of my favourites. It had the most fantastic keyboard, as you can see. And I programmed on it as well. Oh, looking back on it now, wow. Sure, keyboard's as good as that these days. You were up front and honest with the ladies. Of course you are, Kevin. You're that kind of guy. Yes, I'm very tempted with that. The only thing is, it's only got games on it, hasn't it? If they had adventure games, I might be tempted. Ooh, a Commodore 16. I think that was out before the 64, wasn't it? 64 at the time was quite expensive. And I think they did a 128, which I never got. That was like, again, double the price. I just really loved the computer. I had a Sinclair Spectrum as well. But like that says, it was the keyboard that made it a joy to type on. It didn't have quite the number of applications that the Sinclair did, though. But the keyboard on that was very, very spongy. It was plastic keys with an indent at the top, but it didn't have the travel on it that the 64 did. So the 64, what was the one if you wanted to type a lot? It really was. Ooh, a ZX81. I wanted a ZX81, Anthony, but I didn't manage to get one. By the time it was like, yeah, I'm actually going to buy this, it was like, the Commodore 48's out. And then I went off to college. So it's like, well, concentrate on college. And I'd have bought it, but the computing course that I wanted to go on had been cancelled. So it's like it wasn't that much of a priority at that point. But by the end of that first year, the Sinclair 128 had come out. That one went so fast it had the heatsink on the side. Look back now and you think, really? But yeah, it did. So I actually bought one of those. And it was because the local boot store sold off refurbished equipment. They were like 25% of the price. So I could afford not only a Sinclair, but I could get the Commodore 64 as well. And I did. And I started building my own little computer room. So I think at one stage I had about 5 computers in there and I'd go from one to another. But that one holds very, very happy memories for me. I don't think I've got that one anymore. I've got a 128 Spectrum. But when I moved on to my Commodore Amiga and then onto a PC, I decided I'd have like a huge sale. And I went to a radio rally where they were doing radios and computers. And I sold a load of games and some computers. I think I actually came away with enough money to buy something big that I wanted for my Amiga, you know, like extra drives or something. But I think I sold about £400 worth of equipment. So I did quite nicely of it, but I don't think I've got that one anymore now. Ooh, an Amstrad. 512K. Wow. My friend had an Amstrad. I don't think it was... It was more of a toy than a real one, though, to be honest. What were they called? The PCW, an Amstrad PCW. It looked a little bit like the Spectrum. It was black, I think. But it didn't have half the stuff with it. And the thing was, he'd bought it because everybody else had got one. Hadn't got a clue what to do with it. So it had been stuck there in a cupboard for about a year. And the other crisis he'd had was that the desk that they'd built, he said the desk had collapsed. So I was fixing that. I went to visit in the summer. It was down in Tunbridge Wells, which is to the south of London. So about 280 miles away, because you've got to go around the M25, which adds like 70 miles to your journey. And I put the desk together, fixed that. And then I got the computer out and I said, well, let's make some programs, and showed him how it worked. And how can you leave a computer in a cupboard? It's criminal. That's criminal. But when I left, he got quite a hang of like loading a program and stuff like that. But yeah, they used tape recorders, didn't they? I did have the proper Sinclair Commodore one. I think I did. I think the model that I bought came in a bigger box than the computer, and it included the drive. The Spectrum was supposed to work with anything. So I had a couple of drives on that, you know, tape recorders. Oh, those were the days, weren't they? You were focused, all right, because it would take you half an hour to switch contexts from one machine to another. Oh, joy, hey, joy. I never had an Amstrad. That's the one I never had. I went from my 64 to an Amiga 500, and I went from my Amiga 500 to my first PC. And then many, 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 many PCs later, switched to the Mac. Right, that's been a pretty long show, hasn't it? Well, Madam wants to go out, so I'm going to say goodnight to you all, and I'm going to take her out. She's a lucky dog, isn't she? Seeing as though Mike's in the midst of his meeting. We will be back, of course, tomorrow, because tomorrow is Two Show Friday. So 7 o'clock for Marooned, 9 o'clock for After Hours. Hopefully you will all be able to join us, and you will all have a brilliant rest of the day and a good whatever part of tomorrow you have before we all meet again for another episode of Marooned. So for the moment, it is good night from me. I'll say good night from Mike, and we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.